Welcome to the Matomi Media Group H1 2015 Results Presentation Conference Call. My name is Hilda, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, you will need to press star one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Keith Trivett. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Hilda. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Matomi's 2015 interim results call. We published our interim results earlier this morning, and those can be found on our investor relations website at investors.matomi.com. On the call with me today are Ofer Druker, Chief Executive Officer, and Sagi Niri, Chief Financial Officer. As the operator noted, the first part of today's call will be in listen-only mode. Ofer will give some prepared remarks about the interim results, and then we will open the call to questions. There'll be no additional presentation. The call will just be opening remarks followed by question and answer. Please note that certain statements made during this call may pertain to forward-looking information. Although Matomi believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, we can give no assurance that these expectations will be fulfilled. Because these statements contain risks and uncertainties, actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied by these forward-looking statements. We undertake no obligation to update any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Additionally, this call will include non-GAAP financial measurements, the definition of which and reconciliation of such measures can be found in our interim results release. With that, I will pass the call over now to Chief Executive Officer Ofer Druker for some opening comments. Ofer?
Thank you, Keith, and welcome to you all from New York, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. I will first run through some of the highlights, and then Sagi and I will be happy to take some of your questions. We are pleased to release our interim results for the first half of 2015. We have reported a strong growth in our mobile, video, email, and domain monetization activities, driven by enhanced programmatic capabilities. In terms of financials, solid revenue growth with a 16.2% increase to $125 million on a GAAP basis. H1 2014 was $107.6 million. Aggregated mobile traffic across all media channels contribute approximately 28% of group revenues. If we compare it to H1 2014, it was 12%. Mobile activity, which mean mobile web and in-app, increased by 19% to $13.4 million, equivalent to H1 2014, that was $11.3 million. Aggregated programmatic advertising activity across all media channels represented nearly 60% of group activity. Video activity increased 81% to $25.2 million. H1 was $13.9 million. Social media activity increased by 24% to $8.4 million, when H1 2014 was $6.8 million. Email activity grew 28% to $12.2 million due to improved data and deliverability capabilities. Aggregated domain monetization activity increased 19% to $25.4 million. H1 2014, it was $21.5 million on a pro forma basis, supported by proprietary programmatic capabilities that we built. We have maintained our strong balance sheet with net cash increasing to $26.6 million from $21.5 million in the first half of last year. In terms of our business operation, the first half of 2015 was challenging. However, recent progress points to a stronger second half of the year, highlighting a few key points. We have seen strong improvements in our business across June, July, and August, helping place Matomi back on track towards achieving our operational and financial targets for this year. We acquired 70% majority stake in data-driven email marketing business of Venlo, which helps the group. Email activity grew by 27% in Q2 2015 from the previous quarter. We completed the full technical and operational integration of MobFox, strengthening Matomi mobile programmatic advertising capabilities, industry relationships, and client base. Shifting marketplace conditions and internal regulations, changes made by some of Matomi Media Trading Partners, which we reported in a 23 of April 2015 trading update, caused much of the challenges we faced earlier this year. Immediately following these changes, we made several improvement adjustments to Matomi business activities, which include increased focus on Matomi mobile activity, additional investment in the U.S. market, supported by my relocation to Matomi New York office, strengthening the dedicated programmatic advertising unit, and increased technological focus on these activities. The shift through RTP has also triggered restructuring of existing businesses units in order to better leverage operational advantages and provide a unified media offering that supports shorter service and decision-making cycles for both advertising clients and media partners. This improvement helped make June our best trading month year to date, with a strong uptick in the revenues from our mobile, programmatic, email, and domain monetization activities, all of which will be important revenue drivers for Matomi in the second half of the year. As part of the corporate reorganization, we lowered operational costs in the first half of the year due to our programmatic capabilities maturing and scaling to a level that allowed us to replace certain higher cost managed media activities with lower cost programmatic capabilities. Matomi's strong media channel diversification further benefited the group in H1 2015 by offsetting a decline in our display activity, with significant revenue increase in our strategic growth activities of mobile, social and video advertising, as well as growth in our email and domain monetization activities. Additionally, we have positive indication from the recently integrated operation of SmartFox and Avenlo, with Avenlo in particular helping Matomi to save on data acquisition costs associated with the group email activity. Looking ahead, and based on the current business trends, Matomi board remains confident for continued growth in 2015 and beyond, and expect the group to deliver a full-year adjusted EBITDA in the range of $25 to $27 million, which is broadly in line with our targets. Finally, I wish to reiterate our outlook for the remainder of financial 2015. After a challenging first half of the year for our industry, our business has been more positive momentum across June, July, and August, despite the sector having inherently limited forward visibility. We continue to focus on the growth engines of programmatic, mobile, and performance, and have undertaken a determined cost reduction across the business. On this basis, we now expect our adjusted EBITDA for a full year to be in the range of $25 to $27 million. With that said, Sagi and I will be happy to take your question now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. And if you wish to withdraw your question, please press the pound sign or hash key. Our question comes from Simon Davis from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning. There's obviously been a lot of coverage about ad blocking software. Can you give us your thoughts on whether you're seeing any impact from that feeding through, particularly into the mobile market? Secondly, can you talk a bit about the financial performance of MobFox post-integration? Is that in line with or ahead of expectations at the time that you acquired the business? And finally, can you talk through any impact of FX in the numbers? Obviously, you're a dollar reporter, so I'm assuming there may have been some currency headwinds from currency weakness elsewhere.
Okay. So let's start with mobile ad blocks that you described. Basically, as we see it, the market is growing so fast that we don't feel right now any distractions from this activity right now. And we have to remember that the media that we see is, of course, growing. So maybe without this ad blocker, it will be able to grow better or bigger, but it's enough growth that we already experienced, and there is enough inventory in the market right now as we see it. So we don't really feel the let's say the impact of this ad blocking right now. It may change, of course, but right now we don't feel it in our business. Regarding the second point that you asked about MobFox. MobFox, when we are looking on MobFox on the platform that we acquired in last year, I think that we made a very good choice by choosing MobFox, which is a fully programmatic management platform, SSP. And we are really happy from the results that we are achieving from there. Since it's fully programmatic, we feel the growth in the past few months after let's say adjusting the system to the business relationships and to the business practices that Matomi is doing, we feel that we are in line with our plans on MobFox. And of course, the trend, as we see it in the last 3 months, as we mentioned, June, July, and August is also applying on MobFox, which is showing very good signs. Regarding the FX, Sagi, can you share with Simon some points on that?
Yes, I think in the our budget FX was 3.75 Israeli shekels towards the dollar. So in the first half it was around 3.8, so the influence on the P&L is not that material. Versus H1 2014, the FX was much lower, but because, I don't know, around 50% of our costs are coming in dollars, mainly from Atomi US, the Mexican branch, and all the European branch, because we are reporting on a dollar currency. So I think the effect this year against the first half of 2014 is around 5%.
Is it possible to give us a revenue figure adjusted for FX and acquisitions, i.e. a genuine like-for-like growth or decline number?
Yeah, but the revenue is coming mostly in dollars. It's not
right.
In Israeli shekels. We don't have any customers in Israel, so it won't affect or didn't affect it from the FX changes.
But there's some euro. Is there not some euro and sterling income?
A little bit, very minor, and I think that the fluctuations of the pound and the euro against the dollar is very not material.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Again, most of the income of Team Internet, let's say, are in dollars. It's not even in euros.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Our next question comes from Daniel Neron from Lumi Partners.
Hello, friends. Also, can you refer to a couple of things? First of all, can you talk to the EBITDA projection for the second half of the year? How much of that is coming from the business improvement compared to the first half when you were affected by the regulatory and competitive changes? And how much of that relates to the internal restructuring or cost-saving efforts and the integration of the acquisitions that you've made?
First of all, most of the growth will come from our improvement in the business. This is the majority of the growth. Most of the cost reductions that we are doing are, of course, in a sense meaningful, but we didn't affect the company to grow in the future. So we basically did it gradually over the time. And most of the growth that we are looking at in numbers, the big majority, of course, is from planned revenues. And we are seeing that we are now in line with that, meaning usually the second half of the year, the last quarter mainly, is a strong quarter for companies like Matomi and for Matomi, of course. So we are seeing that we are now in line with our plans and our budgeting in order to reach the target that we just mentioned. So most of it is coming from improvement in the business that in the first half of the year was suffered, like most of this industry, from if you look around and you look on most of the companies that are in the ad tech business, you will see that most of them have suffered in the first half of the year. I think that in the last 3 months, as we just mentioned, we see a very big improvement in the business side of these units, and to accompany and following that, also the cost reduction will enable us to reach the target that we just mentioned. But most of the revenues, of course, will come from most of the improvement, and most of the revenues will come from the business itself and not from the cost reduction.
Okay. And as a follow-up, and to your point on the improvement that you saw in the last several months, can you talk to the ecosystem and the environment right now, how it is following the changes? Has it stabilized? And then to that, also on the competitive environment, has the consolidation or the changes in the industry caused some players to exit the market? And how did that impact Matomi's position compared to your competition?
Okay, I think that one of the things that we discussed, you know, in the past year or so, when we came to investors, we said that you need to be diversified. You need to work not through one channel of media. You need to work and build your capabilities around several media channels, also in order to get more efficiency when you are trying to reach, of course, the targeted users or the clients that you are trying to reach, but also to support your business, not to be relying on one channel of media. And I think that the last 6 months proved to us that we were right on that front, that what we did, we built basically several channels of media. And in the past few months, we see that, as we just mentioned, that the mobile, the video, the email, and the domain monetization are basically compensating on a relatively slower revenue growth or even decline in display. And this is something that we think that we are unique in the market, that we have this capability to shift forces and to shift the attention to other channels of media in order to generate and support our growth. That's one. The second thing about this consolidation market, I think that, you know, for many years I'm hearing this term of consolidation, and of course it's happening all the time. I think that in the coming 18 months, we will see more consolidated companies and more companies consolidating into bigger companies, because in the end of the day, it's becoming more and more complicated. And another thing that is happening, to my opinion, is that the financial investors that used to support this industry in the past are more choosy now who they are placing their money with, and there is less support of, let's say, investment in companies in edtech that most of them are private, that they can compete by each other. So they will have to find a way to consolidate and to become part of a bigger organization. I think that Matomi, on that sense, is doing that all the time. In the last few years, we made several acquisitions. We still look for, you know, targets that we will be able to integrate into Matomi, and I think that we learn how to integrate it in a very good and efficient way. When you're looking, for example, on the last acquisition that we did with domain monetization, with Avenlo and MobFox, it's good examples for investments and acquisitions that we made, and we integrate this solution into our businesses in a smooth way. So we are ready for that, and of course we will try to do our best to find the right targets in order to do that, and we have a solid pipeline all the time that we are examining and looking at in order to acquire more capabilities and grow our business also in inorganic way.
Okay. Thank you, Ofer, and good luck.
Thank you.
Operator?
Our next question comes from Steve Lighty from Investec.
Okay.
Hi there. I've got three questions, please. First of all, can you just talk more about your unified media offering that you reference in your statement, what exactly you're doing there and how advanced that is? Secondly, Can you talk about your differentiation against your peer group in terms of technology and data capability? Because I'm just trying to sort of figure out, you know, why anyone wants to use you as opposed to the half a dozen other operators there are in the market.
Okay.
Then thirdly, can you just talk about the big online players, you know, like Facebook and Google? It feels like they are increasingly trying to almost increase the walls of their walled gardens and, you know, reference the YouTube changes in DoubleClick ad exchange and things like that. So, you know, basically, is there a danger that the big guys are now really looking to disintermediate you both in the display side and Facebook via mobile?
Okay. So let me start with a unified offering. So if we look at Matomi, we are basically offering performance marketing. And as we explained many times in the past, also this time, basically advertisers, when they are looking for to get results, they don't really matter if you're from what type of channels they are getting this media, these results, sorry. So basically what we did, we in the past 2 years, we integrated all the client services almost into one point of contact for the advertisers. So for them, when they are like placing what they are looking for, what is their target, we are able to achieve this target from all these different channels of media for them. And for them, it's like basically through one point of contact. In many cases, and I will tell you something like that until now what we see that in most cases, advertisers are running on two or three channels of media at the most, and they are not running on all the type of media, not because of technology barrier or something like that, but because of the, let's say, the match of the type of media to the type of offering that they got and the pricing. So I think that on that front, we were one of the first companies that offered this unified way of running on different channels, and we are keep building these capabilities from the matter of optimization and reporting. But there is, of course, still a lot of room to do. But I think that we are in a very good position on that front to offer clients performance on several channels of media through one point of contact. This is about unified. Regarding your second question about technology and why and data and why peer groups compared to peer groups, I think that there are two elements here. On technology level, I think that we are, in the past few years, we made a very big jump in our technology capabilities, and we are now on the spots that we want to compete and grow, like on mobile, domain monetization, email. We are in the first line of technology right now. And I think that on that matter of data, we are also using data, and we have access to a lot of data that we can use. But apart from nice slogans, I think that most of the industry is still not using data in the best optimized way, and there is a lot of room to grow, and performance is all about data. So I think that we are in a good spot because we have access to a lot of data. We have a lot of channels of media that we will be able to already using data. But I think that it's still a lot of room to grow. If you ask me why advertisers choose to work with us compared to our peers, it's very simple. Because most of the time, what they are looking for is to get quality, quantity, and speed. Meaning they want to get quality leads or quality users that are choosing to use their services. They are looking for quantity, meaning not to get 5 users in one country, but to get big volumes that will affect their business. And speed, meaning that they will be able to get these results in a fair time and not over several months of optimization and so on. The size of Matomi in the ecosystem is such, together with our technology, our processes and procedures, allow us to offer these clients a very good results relatively quickly, so that's why they choose to work with us. They are following performance. Over the years, they tested, I'm sure, a lot of services, and they can, by the way, work in parallel with a few providers. But people that are working with us will keep working with us because we are able to offer them quality and quantity and speed of action that allow them to build their businesses. So it's all about performance. The last question that you asked was about Facebook and Google. I think that no doubt that the market is becoming more and more competitive, but also on that front, I think that our capability to offer performance to clients and to pay mostly on pure performance results, giving us some edge comparing even to these clients, and there is a lot of advertisers that will keep choosing to work with us and not just through Google or Facebook. So even that, I don't think that Google and Facebook are you know, going to stop competing each other and competing in the market. There are also commercial companies and so on. But I think that in a sense, when we are on performance level and we are offering pure performance, I think that we have a lot of room to grow and to coexist with these giants. This is our opinion.
And do you not see a threat of them removing their data? And do you see that as a threat to your performance if they do?
Removing their data?
Yeah, so sort of prevent that sort of...
It's a very wide definition. What do you mean by removing the data? Blocking it?
Yeah, well, let's say blocking it. Let's say sort of stopping third-party DSPs coming into their infrastructure.
So that's the beauty about Matomi. To get data, we have a lot of point of access to the, a lot of point of touch, let's say, with the users through also display mobile, which is our own proprietary technology of MobFox, through email marketing, domain monetization. So from that point, we can collect big amounts of data. We are not relying on Facebook or on Google for doing that. And also for buying traffic, again, as we just demonstrated in the past few months, there is a change. There is some type of turmoil in the display business, and we were able to move the focus into mobile, video, email, and domain monetization to keep growing the company. So I think that on that front, of course, it will make things more difficult, but I think that it's also not serving their interest. For example, when you're looking on Facebook and Google, they want you to buy traffic on them. They want you to buy and invest budget buying traffic from them. So I don't think that they will block it, to my opinion. But, of course, I'm not sitting in their rooms, and I don't know. But this is my opinion. I don't think that it's serving their interest to close this industry. They are also... getting internet, you know, external demand coming to their platforms.
Does that answer your question?
Yep, perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Our next question comes from Peter McNally from Shore Capital.
Okay.
Hi, guys. So it looks like you've done a pretty good job of actually finding new sources of traffic after the changes that happened in the industry. Can you talk us through the logistics of that? Like, did you just shift it to another exchange? And can you also talk about, because it seems like there's been improvements in quality within the ecosystem overall, has that had any effect on prices on the media buying side? And then, finally, could you just give us an update about how you're progressing with Publicis? Thank you.
Okay. So, if you, and I'm sure that you remember, Peter, but on the 23rd of April, when we had a call together, and also your slogan was short time pain and long time gain, I think that what's happening is exactly that, meaning that... through the time, the system is starting to correct itself, meaning when Nexos and other companies and Google and Facebook are putting or creating regulations, they are basically giving a signal to a lot of the advertisers that they can buy more safely on their platform and they can feel more secure when they are getting great results from the campaigns that they are running. And in the past few months, what we did, we basically, of course, worked, still working on these different platforms that we used to work, but in let's say, accelerated our business development, sales, and media recruitment in order to bring more partners, more publishers into our system, more advertisers into our system, and we were able to let's say, balance the systems in a sense. Also, what I just described is to get more results from other channels of media, like in that case, domain monetization, email, video, and mobile, which are showing a very, very good growth on all these different platforms. So we have the ability in our company today to find alternative ways to find more media and to become more interesting to advertisers that are looking to get results. This is, let's say, regarding media. Your second question was about, remind me,
pricing.
Peter, what?
It's about pricing, like
pricing.
The changes
pricing
that have happened, yeah.
Yeah, so pricing, as I described to you last time, I think that the pricing is being balanced, because what's happening is that it's a process. It's not happening in one day. But what's happening is that when you have a shortage of media for a short while, of course the prices are going up. When prices are going up, more publishers are getting into those exchanges. When more traffic is getting into these more exchanges, the prices started to go down. And I think that we are now, until the end of the year, I think that we will see a stabilization of this phenomena. And I hope that the last quarter, of course, in the market will be a good one from trading, not just related to Matomi, but to all this industry. So we will see the growth again of revenues coming from display and from other channels that were suffering in the beginning of the year because of all these changes that we reported on them. You asked also about the, remind me what
does that mean? Does that mean that you can see improvements in your adjusted gross margin coming through in the second half based on the stabilization of pricing?
I think in overall of the group, we see stabilization, a little bit of growth, but I think that it's too early. You know, as I said, it's a process. It's not something that is happening in 1 or 2 months. It's big systems. Still, there is like an ecosystem that is, it's not already related to us in a sense, but we can see around us companies that were dealing with, let's say, ad injection and so on, that are basically closing their gates and closing their revenue. So basically there is still companies that are cutting off media from the market. But on the other end, we see many more advertisers that are coming into the market and investing more money. And in a sense, it's let's say, compensating each other. But it's too early to say that, to talk about results of that on that phenomena. The fact that we were able to stabilize the system is because we are running on so many different channels of media that allow us to do that and achieve these results.
Okay, all right. And then finally, just on Publicis, if you wouldn't mind.
Publicis, okay. So Publicis, we went with them through a lot of tests in the past few months. And basically, a company like Publicis, what we are now doing, we are planning to start a strategic cooperation with them in 2016. But we will have to work on that matters and details in the coming months, because the test and everything that we did until now gave them some indication about our capabilities when we run with them on performance level campaigns in several countries all over the world, in order to show them what are our capabilities. Publicis are, of course, trying and doing their best to serve their clients, and even that they have a sub share in Matomi, they wanted to make sure that the results that we are providing them, the quality and the quantity, are in their standards. So after getting through this channel and through this process, we are now planning to start our cooperation with them in 2016.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Brady Barrett from Edison.
Hi, thanks very much. I just have one question, actually. I'm just trying to get a sense of what market growth actually is. You know, the external companies kind of quote a 30 to 40% figure, which is not really something that we've seen from many companies this year. And, you know, it's obviously great news that the market seems to be picking up again for you, and it sounds for a number of people. So I was wondering if you could just help us first by giving us an idea of what that means, that June was your best month. You know, can you give us a sense of what growth was and, you know, what this kind of magical market growth rate actually is across the industry?
I think it's the $1 billion question that you ask, because everybody is measured differently, and it's very hard to understand sometimes when I'm looking at numbers. It's very hard to understand what they are looking at, if it's a growth, in what portion of the world, what type of media, and so on. So it's very, very, I think, a complicated question to ask what is the growth. In general...
You can just help us with your June figures then, or if you're not able to share June.
I can give you a feeling of June, and I can't give you numbers, but I can tell you that we said that it was the best. We meant that it was the best month in the first 6 months of this year, because it was a month that we saw again growth in all our units, in top line, in basically data that we generated on that month, that got us back to track, and that follows. It was not one occasion, which was June. It was after that, a follow-up by a relatively very good July and August also, compared, you know, to the months of the year. So we felt that in June, basically, we were able to get the Matomi pack on track and move from the let's say challenges that we have in the first 5 months to a better place when the company is growing, the EBITDA is growing. And if you look around, you don't see a lot of companies which are profitable in our business right now. So I think this is a very important achievement and a good indication that I think that we built the company in the right way, that enabled us to compensate on all the challenges that are happening in the display business right now. But I can't share with you numbers, but I can tell you that top line and EBITDA was good compared to the months before, and get us back on track, basically.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a question from Simon Davis from Canaccord.
Okay.
Yeah, hi. Sorry to come back with a couple more. Firstly, you talked about operational restructuring and reducing the cost base. Can you put any numbers on that? And what do you think the annualized number of costs that you've taken out of the business is? First off, please.
I don't think that we are able to give only you these numbers or the people on the call. We have, of course, the numbers. I think that what we will do, and we will report the yearly reports, we'll be able to place them, because it will be important also to understand for the run rate of next year. Sagi, you agree with me?
Yes, I think what we did regarding the cost reduction is quite consistent with the forecasting that we did with the profit warning, and we are standing to that plan. Simon, it's not that material that it's affecting, you know, all the ecosystem of Matomi. And it's like the big improvement is coming for that, as Ofer mentioned before. The improvement is coming from more profitability on the gross margin and more revenues, and the trend is very positive.
Right, and secondly, just on the relationship with Publicis, can you talk a bit about the scale of the opportunity? I mean, how significant do you think the strategic partnership could be going into 2016?
It's since we're working on performance level, it's not something that we can give a number right now. Let's put it this way: we now have the point of contact in Publicis. They understand what we are delivering very well. We can understand what they are looking for much better than we knew, let's say, last year, in the end of last year. And in the coming months, we will build a plan with them, and then we will be able to give maybe more light, or to put more light about their potential. Of course, when you're talking about a company like Publicis that is driving so many advertisers in so many countries all over the world, the potential is huge. To tell you that we can fulfill this potential in the coming year, I can't tell you that right now, even that it's tempting to do that. But we will have to wait and to work with them very closely in order to see what we are able to achieve with them in the coming months for next year.
Great. And just lastly, just to clarify, you said that in the month of June you saw a reversion to growth in all units. Does that mean even the display piece delivered revenue growth in June year on year?
Sagi, I don't remember if it's year over year it's growth, but we saw growth in all units like we described. And Sagi, do you remember from your back of your mind if in June we saw also growth versus 2014? You mentioned Simon?
Yes, I think that in June, you know, versus May, there was a big improvement and increase in the number of the display activity. Versus the June 2014, I have to check, but I think it's more of the same.
Yeah.
We didn't grow. Okay. I agree. Yes.
Great. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We have another follow-up question from Daniel Moron from Lumi Partners.
Okay. Thank you. Also, just to clarify something on the projection, when you talk about the annual run rate of the EBITDA, can you quantify the top line as well in addition to the bottom line? I mean, we can try to extrapolate, but if you can just talk a little bit to that point, to that number. Thank you.
Let me think for a second of what I can share with you. Basically, the target that we gave in April was that we will achieve between 265 million to 275 million. We believe that we will not be far from this range that we mentioned. And basically, what we did in the past few months is that what we did in the past few months, we are not looking, the top line is less interesting for us right now. It's more interesting to look on the bottom line, and that's what we are doing in the past few months to get the profitability in EBITDA. This is the target. The top line, again, I think that we will be broadly in the range, but I don't think that this is the target that we are aiming to. We are looking now to gain profitability and EBITDA. And this is the place that we are putting most of our attention and efforts.
Okay. So I understand that profitability is what you're driving for. And to that, can you talk about the cash conversion out of the EBITDA? Maybe Sagi can try to quantify how much the EBITDA is expected to translate into cash flow generation.
Sagi?
Okay, so in the first half, it's like connected to time differences. So Q4 is our best Q in every year. And Q2 is a little bit less. So the conversion rate from EBITDA to free cash flow was very high, even more than 90%. But on a yearly basis, when we are trying to normalize it, it will be around 47% to 50%.
Okay, so about 50%, give or take. And then, as far as cash use, aside from M&A and consolidating the market, given the opportunity, do you see room for buyback, given that your stock is trading somewhere around 6 times? It's actually closer to 5.5 times EV to EBITDA, if I do the math right.
Buyback. We looked at that in the past, and what we are going to do is we are going through the end of the year to look at it again and to think if we want to build the mechanism that will enable us to conduct a buyback. But right now we prefer to keep the cash that we get in order to make more acquisition in the near future and in the long future or in the midterm. I think that on that front we will examine our moves again through the end of the year.
Okay, and last one, as far as expanding your shareholder base, either in Europe, Israel, or in the U.S., are you thinking of additional listings like on Tel Aviv Stock Exchange or one of the U.S. stock exchanges? Is this something that you may be thinking about over the next several months?
So we were approached, as you know, by the Israeli Stock Exchange in order to do a listing. We were waiting to get a resolution from them on that front. In general, we are, of course, in favor in order to increase our trading and to get more access to more investors. And we are waiting to see the outcome of that move from the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star 1. At this moment, we show no further questions in queue. Do you have any closing remarks?
Thank you, everybody. Sagi, you want to add something special that you didn't get the chance to say?
No, nothing special.
Okay. You know, if you have any more questions or you need more clarification, you can always reach us through Kit or directly, and we will love to answer your questions or get you more clarified on issues that you read in our RNS. So thank you very much for joining this call, and thank you, Kit, for organizing it, and have a nice weekend.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.